morning. It's 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, there is one addition to the agenda, and that is we have the animal shelter contract back from the county attorney's office, so we'll consider that as time allows. You were circulated minutes from the November 3rd, 2023 meeting. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No, I wouldn't. Make a motion we approve the minutes as correct. As correct.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Clerk has advertised, so I will convene. We have a liquor license hearing. So we are out of regular business and considering an application for a malt beverage license. Madam Clerk, I'm going to turn this over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman. I submitted this to the liquor license division a couple weeks ago. They called me late yesterday afternoon, and they said there's no issues with the application. They're only... corrections were just a couple of things that were missed on the application. Nothing that would keep them from moving that through. So they said from their standpoint, everything is good and we can proceed. Basically, the application is for malt beverage. The folks that are wanting to do this, it's Diane Hill, and she's doing business as, I've forgotten the name of it all of a sudden.
The Stampede,
there it is. Thank you, sorry. Basically what they do is they do karaoke and I think some recording out there at their studio, and they just want to be able to sell a malt beverage to their patrons who are out there enjoying the music. And as stated, it has been advertised in the newspaper. And we have had no comments.
Is there any representative from the Stampede here that would like to present on the topic? Hearing none, I would open it up for public comment on the application for a malt beverage liquor permit for the Stampede. Is there any public comment? Public comment. Hearing no public comment, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment. Commissioners, any discussion on this application? I believe this is the only malt beverage license that will be in use in the county.
We haven't had one since 2012.
So this is a license that is hanging out there that a business could use. Any further discussion?
I have no comment on it.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the malt beverage license for the Stampede?
I make the motion to approve the license for the Stampede.
I'll second.
There is a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. And with that, if there's no further business pertaining to this liquor license, I'm going to go ahead and close that public hearing, and we'll be back on regular business, which brings us to the first agenda item of a catering permit for the Cowboy Saloon, except they would like to move their liquor license into the City of Buffalo for the 13th of January 2024 for an event at the Bomber Mountain Civic Center.
Move to approve.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, I do need to just quickly convene the Board of Equalization, so we'll step into that. Uh, before you. You have the minutes. We've already approved the hearing order. These are the minutes for the Board of Equalization that took place on September 14th of 2023. Commissioners, did you have any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No.
No. No.
Is there a motion to approve those?
Move.
Got a motion and a second to approve the Board of Equalization minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, any additional business you need to come before the Board of Equalization?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and close the Board of Equalization and step back into regular business again. And welcome up Sylvia Bruner, our director of the museum, to update us on the Carnegie Building restoration project.
Obviously, Sylvia's not here right now. Can we table that until she comes?
Absolutely, Mr. Cope. We will come back to that. Let's go ahead, commissioners, and we'll use that animal shelter contract as filler. This is a continuation, essentially, of the old contract. This here, you'll note there is one change from the previous years, and that is a rate increase, which we did plan for to reflect the cost of dog food and other supplies. One, there is an animal impounded from the county, which takes us to $800 a month. And County Attorney Ruby, do you have any additional information to add on this? You and Mr. Craig have worked on this?
Yes, I don't have any additional information. I think Strayer worked on it, has reviewed it. He sees no issues with it, and I think you're prepared to sign and move forward with it. No issues from us.
All right, commissioners, I know this was a late add, and certainly if you're not ready to act on it, we can set it aside and we can deal with it today. What's your pleasure?
I'll make a motion that we approve the contract between the Johnson County and the animal shelter for $800 to house the board dogs, I think.
Dogs, pets. Dogs, cats. I believe they said they've had birds, lizards.
Pets. Let's go with pets.
I'll second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All right. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I believe one of the commissioners asked for the hiring freeze to be discussed, so I'll turn that over to whoever requested that.
Well, I don't know, Jeff might have said something about it too, but I think that we probably could drop the hiring freeze, and don't know exactly how to do it without opening it up to hiring anybody, that, you know, as many people as you want, but I think that when somebody loses an employee, they really need to go ahead and fill that vacancy. Sometimes it happens faster than we can meet. And I guess that's my feeling on it.
I would agree with Bob. Speed up things. If somebody quits tomorrow down in her office, they got to wait 2 weeks to be able to put somebody else in there even before they can run the ad. So I don't know the process that we have to do. I know there's something to it.
As long as the money's budgeted.
Yep.
Good feeling to share. So, Commissioner Shelley, in response to the question, if you'll remember that email that I sent out with that original copy of the resolution, excuse me, the motion when it was put in place, and reminded you that you have basically three choices. You can leave it in place, which puts that policy in place. You could amend it, or you could rescind it. And so as chairs can't make motions, that's going to be between you and Commissioner Perry, how you want to handle that.
I guess I have another question on that, in that respect. Is there something you feel could be done to the motion to install a hiring ban for you? The original.
I guess, Commissioner Perry, when I originally wrote it, when Chairman Hicks was sitting here, we had two factors going on. We were in a horrible economic downturn. We didn't know the revenue outlook for the county. Since then, we have moved to monthly ad valorem payments, which has actually stabilized and increased our revenue, but it subjects you to more volatility. Now, instead of economic issues impacting the county 18 months after the payment is supposed to come in, it's now 3 months because they produce it, they do the accounting to the Department of Revenue, send the money in, comes back. So basically about 3 months before that revenue comes in. So the way that originally was written, it did exclude detention because it was imperative that they had the flexibility to do it. And I do agree, you structure positions in the budget. The hiring freeze just gave us a little more oversight as economic situation for the county either improved or didn't. And we've not approved positions, and we've approved a lot of positions in its place. I've been on one where I voted against approving it. The other two commissioners said, fill it, and we went ahead and did. So I think it would be really hard, Commissioner Perry, to go in and single out specific budgets that you would allow to be exempt other than detention. So I guess the understanding for the department heads is going to have to be that, yes, they may be able to fill that position today, but at budget time, that position may be gone, and it's, you know, it's not necessarily first in and last out, but just as we know, revenue streams are volatile because you're dependent on natural resource revenue. So I think as long as the department heads have a firm grasp that is, I think you could go ahead and rescind it, because I don't know how I could rewrite it any other way.
And even if we approve somebody to be a department head to hire somebody, if our budgetary constraints cause us to eliminate jobs, it's probably going to happen anyway. So I'm still in favor of rescinding the hiring freeze.
I'll second that.
So
we got a move.
Motion. Yeah, what was that? Is that a motion?
I guess we'll make that a motion.
Okay. So it has been moved by Commissioner Perry, seconded by Commissioner Shelley, to rescind the county hiring freeze that has previously been in place. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Okay, I see that we have been joined by Sylvia. So Sylvia, I'd love to have you come up and update the commissioners and the public about all the wonderful work that has gone on over the summer to stabilize the building and address some major structural issues.
Thank you, and my apologies for not being here earlier. I thought we'd be just on time, and instead we were late. I need to get your mailing address so I can send you copies. Okay. A little flyer about the work. And that's not a true budget. It's just an expense list, basically. Okay. So, excuse me, I'm not
I'm losing my voice this morning.
Go ahead and hit that red button and we'll help the folks behind you. Should work. I think you have to hold it.
Hold it. There we go.
There we go. And it goes green. There you go.
Coming to life. Okay. All right. So as you all already know, this was phase one of probably a three-phase overall project to do restoration work on the Carnegie Building. The building was built in 1909 through 1910, so it's old enough that it certainly is in need of some help, and because it's constructed of sandstone in particular, that material, while beautiful and locally quarried, just kind of flakes apart if it doesn't receive the appropriate maintenance care, which includes things like cleaning, remortaring, and then applying a sealant, which has been done to the east side. So phase one, which is what happened this year, was just the east side or front of the building. And that was chosen to be priority and done first because it was the worst. I truly don't understand why the building is facing the east setback from the street. I don't know what the thought process was there. But what it does for us now is it creates a weird weather catch, basically. So it gets kind of pummeled by all of the rain, snow, wind, etc. Swirls around those front, at the front door, around the columns, the porch, and the side of the building. And that's also where the rather inefficient gutter system dumps out onto the sidewalk. So the majority of the worst damage has been from water migrating through the building. And then it's kind of accelerated in the last 10 years or so as improper mortar was used in 2006. And that mortar, and this is my basic understanding, I'm not a historic preservationist, but from what has been explained to me, that mortar was basically just concrete or cement. And so it had no flexibility. So when the building suffers any kind of like shock or movement from the street, just from the way the world turns, it was, the mortar was kind of causing that to come out in the sandstone more than the mortar itself, and that was causing extra fractures. So it wasn't just our imagination. The damage really was kind of accelerating over the last few years. The basement bathroom, one of them, the wall is crumbling, and that's from water slowly migrating through. After a period of time of letting it rest now with that sealant that's been applied, we should stop seeing it crumble inside, and then we can try and repair that. So Loken Historic Preservation was chosen partially because he's familiar with Buffalo, has done work on this building and on Margot's and the Occidental, partially because he is also the only one who would actually respond to me and give me an actual bid, an estimate, and really knew what he was doing. So it's out of Missoula, Montana, which I think is about as local or regional as sometimes we can get. I did check in with people and references to make sure that the work he'd done on other historic buildings was good. I heard nothing but really good things, so that made me feel comfortable hiring him too. And they came down, they began work in September, and again, only the east side of the building, but they removed, first they did a pressure wash of the building, get all the grime and everything off and all the really loose pieces of rock. And then they went through, they removed all of the mortar. In some cases, that was a substantial amount of mortar because of the way the building has shifted over the years and been patched. There were some cracks that were like 2.5-3 inches thick. Also, the walls are about, 12 to 18 inches deep. Sometimes that's a full stone, solid stone. Sometimes the stone is just a facing stone, like 6 inches, and then it's been filled in with rubble material when it was constructed. Apparently that was a common thing. We learned this in the process. So a lot of different kind of areas for things to have gone wrong. But they pulled out all the stones that were really crumbling and beyond saving in those locations. Some of them were pretty large, and they were able to cut them down and use them as replacement stones in other locations. So some of the original stones had been moved around a bit, cut to fit. And then there were new stones to replace what just simply had to be replaced. And you can tell, you can see those, you can tell by the color and the kind of surface of the stone. It was never our intention to hide the work going on. You know, it's a building still in use, and even though it's historic, we want to keep to those historic traditions. We also have to understand that this is a current modern fix in usage, so it's kind of a in the style of, but not trying to cover it up. Does that make sense? Similar materials, as similar as Scott Loken could locate for the sandstone replacements, but again, that's why they're slightly different color. The columns on the front of the building were not doing great. The bases underneath them were crumbling. Fortunately, they never, you know, fell out, but they were actually, the columns were removed, and the pedestals and bases were also removed completely. They were beyond repair for that location, and those have been replaced and stabilized. So the only real hiccup, excuse me, is the stone cutting company, also out of Montana, that was hired to cut those base stones and the little end cap stones in front of the bases you can see on the stairs. They kept having delay after delay after delay, which caused about a 3-week delay for the project for us. And the frustrating thing about that is phase one was supposed to include cutting into the sidewalk in front of the building and installing a drainage system because of the ice buildup that happens there. That couldn't happen because the scaffolding had to be in place for the columns, and then by the time that was done, the scaffolding was removed around Thanksgiving. The weather had turned, and we kind of missed that window. So it is on Scott's schedule for next spring to finish up phase one, and that's the concrete work, the sidewalk work.
So it looks like at this point you guys are under budget, which is great. Is that going to get, that current savings going to get eaten up once they do that front work? So
yeah, yes. And what I did not show on that little spreadsheet, like I said, it's really not a true budget. It's just really an expense list. The invoices to Loken Historic Preservation, we have been paying them out of the museum's fundraised money that came in over the summer, and then submitting those to you guys for reimbursement. The last invoice I have not yet submitted to you because I haven't got the paperwork together yet. So that money has gone out and back in. And then like the Bald Mountain Sanitation, that was for the dumpster rental. You know, that's a pretty minimal kind of cost. And I don't even plan on submitting that for reimbursement, to be honest. And then we're working on, excuse me, securing more funds for phases 2 and 3. So we did, in this summer's fundraiser, we pulled in about $68,000 because we had an offer for $30,000 as a match, and it was more than met. And on this little brochure on the back, our thank you to everybody. You guys are at the top as the major funder, obviously. But all of these people have donated specifically for this project. And so we will continue to try to fundraise and also apply and go after grants, anything that could be applicable for this building.
Are 2 and 3 going to be in about the same?
They are. Both of those phases will be less detailed, I guess, because you know, you don't have the columns, you don't have the steps. However, they're larger portions of the building, so it equals out to be about the same, around $200,000 mark for each phase. And the north side of the building has a lot of loss of stone, just from the way our weather patterns work.
So Sylvia, the outside treatment, is that going to have to wait until all of the phases are done? Will they treat the portion that you...
Like the sealant?
Yeah, the sealant.
They've already sealed the east side.
Good. Okay.
Yep. So that can be done in pieces as well. And then I have visited with Scott, but I haven't got a written information. He will provide that for us. So kind of a treatment plan as years go by. I don't remember if it's every 5 years or every 10 years, a recommendation to reseal the building so that hopefully we are preventing this kind of damage, you know, for whoever is inhabiting that in 50 or the next 100 years. I'm optimistic here.
So are we. We like our old buildings, so.
It's a beautiful building with a really cool history. You know, the community effort for when it was built, a lot of that is included in this little brochure, and it's a pretty fun story. And then the community effort to get it on the National Register listing in the 1970s is also, you know, fun and worthwhile acknowledging. So we're happy to be able to take care of it, and that is, and thanks to funding from the commissioners. Thank you.
Sounds good. Did a great job of raising money.
Thank you. I found when we have very project-specific things, people can get behind it.
Commissioner, I think probably one of the things that we want to think about as we're looking at the capital facilities budget and that is visiting with the facilities manager to make sure that just as we have like staining the youth camp and staining the columns over at the CJC on a now and regular reoccurring basis, that we add this to that list of things that need to be taken care of every 5 years to prolong the life. So I'm going to make a note to myself for budget.
What does that sealing process usually cost us for that? Sylvia, what does that cost to seal that building?
You know, I don't know because I haven't reminded Scott that I need that dollar amount broken out. But I will ask him about that, and I'm sure he'll provide it. He's been very easy to work with.
Are there any questions from the public or press for Sylvia on the project? All right, I see. Jody, can we switch that off? I don't know if we get feedback if it's on or what. So I'd like to welcome up Marilyn Conley, the Emergency Management Coordinator, for an update on the All Hazard Recovery.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Brought you a couple pictures too that don't have anything to do with the hazard.
Oh, is this the fried?
Recovery, but that's the fried parts on Windy Ridge for our radio system. Okay, the All Hazards Recovery Plan. Just to kind of explain what this plan is about, is it goes along with the emergency operation plan that we're in the process of updating right now to include the emergency operation plan has in it what's called emergency support functions. The All Hazards Recovery Plan has what's called recovery support functions. There's and they all tie together. When we have a big event, we're going to need a recovery plan to look at, kind of get us started on how would we recover in our community if we have a big flood or tornado or some other type of disaster that would affect our community. And this is another one of those plans that we need to have in place to assist us with FEMA funding or government funding if something were to happen. And these recovery support functions include community planning and capacity building, economic, health and social services, housing, infrastructure systems, and natural and cultural resources. So what I've done is put together, you guys had a copy. Did you make copies for everybody, Jordan? Because it's a lot of paper. But this is all draft. So it can be worked around, changed. I've included agencies in there, different to handle with the functions. For example, one under the economic function or housing function, I think it would be really nice to have the local chamber involved, and they have copies. I've talked to them a little bit, but so far I haven't, you know, gotten to go to their board or meet with them. But so there's different entities that are involved. The bank, there's some bank members that have this document. The city of Buffalo has it. You all have it. The town of KC has it. Because what I did is I included city of Buffalo and the town of KC in it because they don't have anything put together that would help them with this. So since it's a county effort, I just try to include cities and the town of Casey in it, so they don't have to try to find someone to put a recovery plan together. So it's pretty comprehensive. And I would like to have, my goal would be able to have this approved. There's an approval and adoption and approval from the town for the Casey, Buffalo, and the commissioners to sign. But once I get comments back from these other entities that I've kind of taken it upon myself to include, then we'll be able to approve it, and hopefully we'll have that done by the middle of January is my goal, to have that done. Again, it's just another one of those, it's another one of those plans that FEMA wants us to have, and I've worked on it for a number of years, really, and I've finally just gotten it to where it's all kind of coming together. So, I mean, I can give you an example of, like, I just turned to this. So, recovery support function number 4 is housing. So, who would be this support function coordinator for that? What I have in the document draft is the group that runs the affordable housing for the community, the city. Supporting agencies, I have Habitat for Humanity, City of Buffalo, Johnson County Planning, local real estate associations, local housing lenders, local housing developers, just as, because if something happens, we're going to have to look at, if we have a lot of people that have lost their homes due to an event, we're going to have something in place where we can go, okay, let's initiate the housing function and start working on pulling that all together. That's an example for housing. Infrastructure systems. I have road and bridge and the public works for the coordinators, and then there's a whole list of supporting agencies to help with that on rebuilding our infrastructure systems. On the and that covers like debris management, transportation, so it's all broke down, utilities. I also have, speaking of utilities, I have documents out to the utility companies, propane companies, to review as well. I wanted to talk about the there's a IT unit as well. I wanted to speak just a little bit about the economic one, that's support function, support function 2, and that's the one that I was really hoping, once I get with the chamber board, that they could help us with as far as being a coordinator on that one. The county clerk has got a copy of this, and there's quite a bit in there on the finance piece of this for clerks in the city and the treasurer and the town of Casey, whoever their finance people are. Supporting agencies, county assessor, county treasurer, other agencies as needed. I see the tourism boards here. I have you down.
I was afraid of that.
I just volunteered you. You can say no.
Where do we fall in your economic development?
Yes, on the economic side.
Okay.
And I don't even have any tasks for you to do. I just have you listed as as a potential support agency in case something like this would happen. How do you feel about that?
Hopefully we don't have one, but we'll support whatever we can if we do.
All right. Because I was going to try to catch up with you and bring you a copy so you could see that I had it.
Yeah, I would like to have a copy.
In there, so I'll get you a copy. Well, actually, you can just have this one. I don't have it paper clipped or anything, so you'll have to be careful.
Yeah, you need a mic.
Do you have a clip?
I'm sure that's a clip or a...
Perfect.
Well, let me clip. That way you can go through it. can use a red marker too if you want.
Oh, good. Highlights all there.
Sure.
Perfect.
Anything you can find.
All right.
Thank you. And so that is kind of the upshot of the plan, and then we'll have to get approvals, like you said, from the city, town, and county, and I'll be going down to KC to talk to them at their next council meeting. They're reviewing it right now, so we'll try to, I'd like you guys to review it. Like I said, I gave the clerk there's some pretty good assignments in there. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it.
I was kind of putting out fires late yesterday.
Yeah, that's all right.
I glanced out this morning and I went, I think this is a bigger
job. She spoke to me this morning, so I think that's, I felt like she hadn't reviewed it yet or it was all good.
It'll be all right.
I've got a question for you. Have you talked to anybody like some of these communities in Colorado that burned out?
We do, and at our last coordinator meeting, we had people come up and give us a lesson learned from those fires and things, and that's where this recovery plan really helped them as well. They had some things in place that they could just start. I look back on the KC flood and what all that little community had to go through on the recovery piece. There's the other one, thinking of KC, that comes to mind is who do you have handle your volunteer and donation management, especially the donation. That is part of this recovery plan and our emergency operation plan. There's a whole section on volunteer donation management. We need to have a place set up where when people send money to help with an event, that we have a really good idea of who's going to manage that and what entity would take that on. And that's still kind of sitting out there for me. I don't have that solidified yet, but that's a big piece of the recovery plan. And I don't know if it'd be a nonprofit. I've visited some with the senior centers, also looking at what I have down for them in the operation plan, and I think I have them mentioned in this recovery plan as well. But that's a big piece, and that would really help the county, the city, and the town if we have somebody already committed or identified that can say, yes, we'll take that on. Then when it happens, you've got it set up and you're ready to roll, because that is huge, keeping track of that. So did that answer?
Yeah, it did. I just, because I know that in that fire situation in Colorado, they had to have had a nightmare.
Yeah, they did. One of the other ones that we had a big lesson learned on was in Colorado. It was a county in Colorado down by Pueblo. I can't remember the county name right off the top of my head, but they had an actual cyber incident happen to them, shut their county completely down. And they, of course, were small like we are, and they never ever expected anything like that to happen to them. And they were down for, I think it was like 5 days where they just couldn't operate. And they're willing to come up and give us a presentation on that, but one of the things they said and it was caused by someone clicking on a email. And what they told us was that it looked so real, the email looked so official and so real, but the problem with it was there was one letter in the email that had a different font than the rest of the email. And that's how that happened. Shut them completely down. They said they learned that it wasn't a good idea to have everything in the county on the same network. Because when that network got infected and went down, everything went down. And I've talked to him about coming up and doing a presentation. I don't know if you guys would like that or not. We can probably get that set up. But yeah, there's all kinds of lessons learned out there from different incidences.
Are you getting good cooperation with everybody?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's kind of new to them, you know, so giving them copies, telling them, just look at it. It's just a draft. It's just an idea. If what I threw in there, I gathered things from other places, you know, and tried to make things for a smaller area because they've got templates and ideas out there. Some of them wouldn't work for us at all, so I've tried to make it pretty local. But investing with them, they're pretty willing to help and see the idea of a whole community approach. That's the kind of the buzzword for the FEMA is whole communities. They like to try to get as much input. I do have a survey to send out for the community for the emergency operation plan itself. Once I figure out how to do this, because I think we could use a QR code. Put the survey on the website, and then I could put the QR code maybe in the newspaper, and then they could click on that and it'd take them to our website, and they could do the survey. And I got to figure out how to get the information back to me because I'm not QRS savvy. So anyway, I'm working on how to get this survey out to the community. It probably wouldn't take anybody more than 5-10 minutes to fill it out and get it back, but I need to do that before we finalize the emergency operation plan. And hopefully, again, that'll be finished up by the time my tenure is over. So, county attorney will probably have to look at it as well.
Barry will be excited.
I'm sure he will. I know, he's just been bugging me about it.
I know.
Mr. Allen, part of this premise of this overall arching effort is that the City of Buffalo and the Town of Casey also have continuity of operations plans. I know we have one because we sit down with you every year with our red notebooks mm-hmm. and go through what happens if we lose a building or a network, but do those two other entities have those key documents?
That is highlighted in the plan because I am not aware if they do. They very well could, but I'm not aware of it at this point. And there is this highlighted piece in there that says county commissioners require the City of Buffalo and the Town of Casey have, I think it says, have a continuity of operation plan. But I know you can't require that. Well, I don't think you can. So it's just I know I'm going to have to change that verbiage, but no, I'm not aware if they are do or not. That'll be something I'll find out.
We'll add that to our list for the city-county discussion.
Yes. And this document would be a good place to kind of run over some of that at your joint meeting, probably. But I've always tried to just include City and Casey for that very reason, because they don't have their own emergency management person. They don't have their own emergency operation plan that I'm aware of. And the comments I get back is, well, we're in the county, so the county can do that. And they are.
They are. They may not like dictators, but we
can. Anyway, that's all I have on the plans for updates right now.
Questions for the public or press for the emergency management coordinator? And to update the public and press, the Commissioners will be meeting with the final candidate for the emergency management coordinator position this afternoon, and we are hopeful that by the end of the week we will be able to announce who will succeed Marilyn, contingent on approval of the governor, and we can then begin having them work with her for the next couple months to do a transition. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Marilyn. Thank you.
That's a scary thought.
Commissioner Perry, it is. I heard from one of the elected officials in Hawaii over the weekend about what they're going through as they try to rebuild, and it's not easy.
No.
Commissioners, we have just a quick discussion because, of course, the new year comes board appointments, and so just so you can get these on your mind and we can get it out to the public, that the board application process should be opening soon. You'll be able to fill out that form online or submit that form with your letter of interest to the commissioner's office. It looks like there will be one position on the airport board. That's a 5-year term. Two positions on the fair board. Those are 4-year terms. Two positions on the lodging tax board. Those are 3-year terms. Two positions on the planning commission. Those are 3-year terms. On the predator control board, there are two positions for sportsmen at 3-year terms. One position on the recycle board, that's a 3-year term, and one position on the solid waste district, that's a 3-year term. So, commissioners, get that on your mind that we've got terms that you need to help recruit or retain the members in those positions, because those will be due in January. And Clark, looks like we are at a time on the agenda for vouchers.
Yes, we have a total of vouchers to presented for $435,235.93.
Okay, commissioners, you were given the vouchers last week. I don't believe Mrs. Rodriguez said there were no additional prepays, so that is the grand total. Did any voucher require you to want it to be pulled or discussed?
No, I didn't see any that I wanted sold.
There is no discussion. Is there a motion to approve the vouchers?
Move to approve the vouchers.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And Clerk, before we open it up for public comment, did you have any additional business you needed the commissioners to transact?
No, Chairman. Thank you, Adam.
Mr. Ruby.
No, sir.
Ms. Telkin?
No.
With no additional items to transact, I would welcome public comment. Go ahead, Jody, come forward.
Good morning. First thing, I would like to introduce you to Amber Eggers. She is our new chamber board president. Amber's here. So in case you all didn't know who she was, I wanted to introduce her. So, second thing, I wanted to bring you a report through the third quarter of this year of how our visitors have done in the state, but mostly in the county. So the first page is a comparison, kind of the top part is the state of Wyoming, how they've done, and then how we did as a county, broken down with drinking places, full-service restaurants, limited seating, RV parks, special food, and traveler accommodations. And there's a comparison from 21, 22, and through the third quarter of 23. We're up for our third quarter overall, which is good to see. If you go to the second page, how the spending was spent, gas, and I'm sure you're all aware, our gas prices were a little astronomical this year. So gas prices were the 25% of what was spent on the credit cards. Rooms were at 19, food at 10, and retail down at 6. At the bottom of that page, good information to see. We've been focusing for the Tourism Board on some regional advertising in our top 10 metro areas. Denver, Rapid City, Billings are our top three. Again, that makes sense with I-90 and I-25 coming together here. It's easy for people from those areas to come and visit. On page three, the bottom part, I wanted to point out lodging tax revenue for our county, both hotel and short-term rental revenue. One of the things that I really noticed on this when you compare this third quarter with last year's third quarter are short-term rentals are down pretty substantially. I think probably a big part of that is with the city changing where short-term rentals can be in town. You know, it's the main thoroughfares. I feel like we've lost some pretty significant revenue on that. Hopefully it's increased our long-term rentals, so it helps the community overall, but we're down over $100,000 just in the third quarter for tax revenue with the short-term rentals. But overall, we're up, so more people are staying in the hotel rooms. And then I just wanted to present that. Also to let you know that we have finalized our hiring of Toby Kerrig as our marketing director for the Tourism Board. He is coming from Newton, Kansas. He has a background in tourism and marketing in the newspaper. He should be driving here tomorrow-ish and hopefully start with us on Monday. He found a place to live. Yay. And we're excited to have him on board, and I will get him in here to one of the next commissioners meetings so you all can meet him. So, any questions?
I do have one.
Yep.
I have one for you.
Sure.
On the retail side up there on page 2, where we're down at 6%.
Yep.
What is the state average on that? Do you know?
I don't know offhand. As a retailer, I can tell you we're down pretty significantly this year. For GG's, we're running at about 2016 levels. We're actually lower than the COVID year for sales this year. What I've looked at with my numbers, it's the number of items selling. You know, we're through October, we're down over 1,400 items to date. And so what I've seen is we still have as many people coming through, but they're buying one or two things instead of 10. But I'll try to look into that. They didn't include that to see how we're doing there. But, you know, I haven't really talked to any retailer that's having a booming year. They may not be doing awful, but it's been a tough year, I think, for retail with food prices, gas prices, hotel rooms, just travel in general. So our visitors have tightened their belts quite a bit for the just shopping. And it's also what I've seen too is a lot of people are especially through the COVID years, cleaning out and not spending as much. They've, you know, that had that time to clean out their houses and realize maybe they didn't quite need as much stuff. So I think we're seeing some trends there, along with online shopping's just gone crazy.
Any questions?
All right, thank you much.
Thanks, thank you.
Any additional public comment? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Everybody hang, you have stuff to sign. You want to pay the bills, you're going to sign them.
That's what I don't want.